Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Matthew, and welcome to another exciting episode of Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting.
Flatshare Slam
Now. House Meeting.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
We get it. We get it.
We all get it. Go on.
Before we get into this episode, which is a very fun one, just worth mentioning that those April shows are selling quick and they are on the horizon. April 4th, April 5th at the Phoenix. Come and see Flatshare Slam Down being recorded live. Links
good
to the shows.
Lord.
Yeah, good Lord, indeed. This are you going to be there?
This year is absolutely bombing along, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. And we've got MacFest as well, the brilliant MacFest. We are going to be doing two shows Saturday and Sunday at MacFest. So hopefully links for tickets will be in the show notes as well for all of those. April 4th, April 5th, April 30th, and May the 1st. And that is a lot of... That's four flat slams in basically the space of a month.
Woo!
Yeah. So that's a lot, guys.
That's a lot.
We need you there to support us. Specifically the last one in Mac, because we're going to be shattered. Because that is... To do 2 days' work and then a month later do two more days' work is the most work we've done in, I'd say, 7 or 8 years. So... We need you there. We need a good base of love of Pappy's fans to come along to the MacFest shows, to come along to the Phoenix shows. But yeah, April 4th, April 5th, MacFest, Saturday and Sunday. Get your tickets from the show notes. Links.
Links.
Links,
okay,
baby.
Let's get into this house meeting. Here we go.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
You've got a moustache.
Got a moustache. I shaved it yesterday. Mainly just to see if Megan noticed whether or not I had one. And it took her until about 7 o'clock in the evening to notice it for the first time. I did it first thing in the morning. So I had a moustache for about 9 hours before she noticed.
You know, it's not Jeff from Biker Grove, though, is it?
Oh, no. No.
It's not.
And also, she was out of the house for those 9 hours, right?
She's got a job, Clarky.
She was at work.
I just thought she'd notice in my voice, you know, you can hear
a sort of slight bristling.
Yeah,
as she spoke.
Yeah. Is it sticking around, you think?
I don't know.
I know a few people like have embraced the tash at the moment. Yeah. I think it's back. I think it's kind of back in at the moment.
I can, by the way, I can hear Gloria getting a telling off through the wall.
her mum's just noticed that she's grown a moustache, which has taken her a few hours, but she's very unhappy about that. Yeah, my dad had a moustache for the vast majority of our childhood, and we had the opposite thing of he shaved it off, and it was mad.
Yeah.
Trying to get your head round, it was mad.
When my dad shaved off his beard, it was the same thing. How old were you when your dad shaved the tash off?
I reckon about 12, 13, and it was like...
About the same, yeah.
Who is this guy? Who's this guy in our front room?
It's really... It really changes a face, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's much more than adding a moustache doesn't change a face as much as taking a moustache away.
No,
basically.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, that's very true.
That's what I'd say. The Mr. Potato Head rules, I guess.
Yeah. In the kind of disguise rules. Yeah. It's better to commit the crime with the moustache, then shave it and go on the run, rather than to go, well, also for time reasons. That's the other reason. It's quicker to shave a moustache off than it is to grow a moustache. But I think, yeah, you're right.
Either that or have the moustache. It's a fake moustache, but you've played the long game. It's a fake moustache that you've been wearing for 10 years and then, whoop, it's straight off.
You started at the age of that? 11 and now at 21.
Wearing the tash.
There is a slight danger, though, that having worn a fake tash for 20 years, a real tash has grown underneath it. And you just never noticed. So you whip off the fake tash.
Right in your moment of...
Maybe you take a few little hairs with you, but you're basically the same guy.
You've come undone.
I've actually got a much bushier moustache under this small fake moustache I've got here. It's 20 years worth of growth.
We made a go at growing moustaches for a joke once, didn't we, for a show?
Yeah, for a whole month. The first Edinburgh 2006, we had moustaches for the whole... And also as well, because we were previewing, I think I had mine for like June, July as well. And I remember shaving it off on the... We wanted to shave it off on stage, remember? We wanted to shave it off in the final show.
It?
No, we didn't. I think we talked ourselves out of it because no one cares. You know? Like, it wasn't one of those things where like people were like... We just went in the toilets afterwards.
Mate, I have a memory of it.
Really? You've got a memory of being on stage shaving?
Is this one of these fake memories?
Well, I was going to say the Mandela effect only works if like loads of people believe it.
Well, I've got a memory.
But let's find out.
Hang on, Harry. Playing.
Hang on. What's one of these fake memories, and is that the Mandela effect? And what's the Mandela effect?
So the
okay.
The Mandela effect. Now, I might slightly botch this, but I think there's lots of people who have a memory of Nelson Mandela. Meeting Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, he came to our last Edinburgh show, handed out the razors, said, what a finale.
And that's why the next year we all performed in really loud shirts. But no, I think the idea is that there's lots of people who have a memory of seeing the news that Nelson Mandela had died in prison. And lots of people have that memory. And so, and all independently, it's like a kind of group, sort of a group, what would you even call it?
Phenomenon?
But like everybody having the same sort of delusion or the same sort of...
I quite recently went to a website that listed a load of like the most popular ones.
The other one is there's a movie with Sinbad in it called Shazam.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist, that those people have remembered.
Sinbad from... Sinbad from...
Not from Brookside. No, not from Brookside.
I was going to say, what a shit effect that is. It's the old Sinbad IMDb effect. You know that one? Where you think you saw a show that the guy who played Sinbad from Brookside was also
but
in.
It was actually the bloke who played Jimmy Corkill.
Corkill was a wronger, wasn't it? I tell you what, Brookside doesn't get spoken about enough these days.
I think it gets spoken about exactly the right amount.
Okay, so I'm into this.
We
so,
can't do Drops of Jupiter last podcast and Brookside this podcast. Seriously, we have to at least, I mean, actually, to tell, we're talking about a movie with Sinbad in, so it's not like that's the most...
Remind me, I want to talk about Drops of Jupiter in the outro.
Oh, of course.
Well, we had a great bit of correspondence about it.
You really piqued people's interest.
I tell you what, people would be flying the correspondence about Brookside as well. Anyway, let's look. Sinbad, the actual Sinbad.
Not Sinbad. Sinbad the sailor. Comedian. He's a comedian. He was in the movie. He was in the TV show, the Cosby Show spin-off, Different World. So that's where he kind of broke. But he's a stand-up comedian. Oh, you would know him. He is the other guy in Jingle All the Way.
Yes,
he's the other guy who's also trying to get the action hero figure off of Schwarzenegger. He's that guy. That's Sinbad. Just called Sinbad.
It is mad to me that these are the big two. when it comes to fake memories. Mandela dying in prison, and then that guy who's also in Jingle in the Way was once in a film called Shazam. That, I mean, they are, that barrel's not very big. They're not immediately scraping the barrel.
It's not called the Sinbad effect, is it, apparently? it's called the Mandela effect, because that's the big one.
I've got another one for you. that Walker's salt and vinegar used to be blue.
That's right. One. Everyone thinks they changed it, but it was actually Golden Wonder was blue, and they've always had salt and vinegar as green.
No, hang on. This can't be the same website, because the Venn diagram of people who think Walker's Chris used to be blue and who are big fans of Sinbad and think that they saw him in a film called The Shazam.
Yeah,
it's
just Clarkey. In fact, it's Clarkey's website. It's benclark.co.uk.
I was going to say, this should be just like Clarkey's playground chat. It's just like shit people talk about facts in the playground.
Yeah.
Okay, so just to unpick these very quickly. So people think Mandela died in prison. They literally have a memory of being
seeing
told,
it announced, yeah, like on,
seeing
on the
it
news,
on the
yeah
news, seeing people do speeches about it. All the rest of it, yeah.
Right. And what their brain's doing is going, Mandela used to be in prison for a long time and he's dead, and it's kind of conflated the two.
I think it was even before he died. But yeah, I think that the reason it's called Mandela Effect was that was the first one that people were like, hold on, I swear I've got that exact same false memory.
Yeah. I remember it so clearly. I just bought a ticket in the cinema. I was going to see Shazam. I was so excited about seeing Shazam, because you know who was in it. So yeah, just very quickly lay out the Sinbad one for me, because there is a film called Shazam, right?
Maybe it's Shazam that I'm thinking of, but like, there's a movie with
I think there's one with Shaq that he plays a genie in, but it's not called Shazam.
Yeah, and I think
or
people
something like
but
that.
But people remember a movie where Sinbad played a genie and it was called Shazam. And people remember this. They remember the cover of it and seeing it in like Blockbuster when they were kids.
Yeah.
But the film never existed.
Yeah. And that one got me. I thought I remembered Shazam as well.
What was the actual Shazam movie called? Do you remember what it was called?
It might have been Kazam.
Oh, with Shaq in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Kazam. Oh, I'm not buying that as a man. That's bullshit. That's just misremembering the title of a film, isn't it?
No, but it's like genuinely, like, remember seeing Sinbad on the front cover and being like, oh, yeah, I think, like, Kazam was, like, a remake of Shazam or like, one of those times where they made two really similar films at the same time.
Hang on, and Sinbad isn't in Kazam?
No, but people remember there being a movie about a bumbling genie who was called
Bernie,
Shazam.
Bernie and the Genie.
Oh. Bernie and the Genie. No, that was Lenny Henry and Alan Cumming. I mean, that was a classic.
One of the finest. I mentioned that in a meeting recently, and someone went, oh, God, Bernard and the Genie. And I was like, I thought everyone remembered that as a Stone Cold classic.
How old was this person?
Yeah, like, considerably older than me, so maybe had a bit more perspective on what Bernard and the Genie really was.
It's a bit like when that Canon Pictures documentary came out, and they were going, oh, yeah, that He-Man movie, what a disaster that was. And I was like, oh, I loved He. I thought the He-Man movie with Dolph Lundgren was amazing. I thought it was insane.
Yeah. Sorry. Yes. Sorry. Did you say you thought Dolph Lundgren was in the He-Man movie?
Oh, no.
You can't. Oh, baby.
It was Nelson Mandela.
You just been Mandela'd, baby.
House meeting.
Can I get this pizza delivered to Nanita?
House meeting.
If I'm Sinbad now, right, I'm crowdfunding to make Shazam.
Yeah, what a great idea. Surely you've got to, you know, you do, in the same way that, like, you know, when Stranger Things came out, they really kind of played up the kind of 80s sort of thing. You make a movie that feels like it should have been made in 1993.
That's the pitch. You go, look, enough people remember this film in their conscience. Tell me what you think you remember about it.
Although, right, isn't that like, it's going to come out and people go, no, I've seen it already. So you are in a slight problem there, aren't you?
Well, you could really fuck with people. You could only release it on NHS.
NHS?
On NHS.
Yeah, it's free at the point of service.
On VHS.
And that's our guarantee.
Here's the ambulance.
Here's the real vaccine, guys.
This film is so good. Inject it right into my veins.
Shazam crowdfunds. And when you donate, you also give your specific memory of what you think happened in that film. And then the film is a tapestry of everybody's memories of what they think the film is, woven together. So it would play like some kind of weird fever dream, but at some point you would have a really pleasing feeling of going, yeah, I knew that there was bit. A bit where he jumped into a slot machine or so, you know.
Yeah, which is that is a perfect kind of like late 80s, early 90s thing.
Yeah, he would have jumped, definitely.
He would have become part of the arcade machine, yeah.
Yeah, and you go like, I knew that bit was in there, and it's like, yeah. But the problem is, because the film is made up of everyone's memories, that bit where he jumps into the arcade machine will be immediately followed by a bit where, I don't know, he buys the New York Yankees and
with the grandma, all that kind of stuff.
You go like, oh, whoa. But you know, it could be avant-garde, but like what you're giving people, I mean, it is a cool thing to go like, this is no longer a Mandela effect because
speaking of movies, is The Exorcist being filmed next door? Jeepers creepers, man.
Can we hear our listeners now? Is that something?
Directly tapped into their inner monologue.
We're making our own Exorcist film called Welcome to Toddler Town.
Oh boy.
yeah.
Oh boy. Glory's recording the soundtrack.
I think that's happy.
Yeah. Oh wow.
I think that's happy. Yeah. There's laughter.
I'm gonna choose to believe from my little locked room that's happy sounds.
The Kazam Shazam. So, anyway, we've covered it, and it's fascinating. I still don't know who Sinbad is. Is that why have I had that as a blind spot?
You've got the inverse Mandela effect. You've got no memory
of anything.
Got the old Desmond Tutu. Got a touch of the Desmond Tutus. Well, the Bider-Meinhof phenomenon means I'll now encounter Sinbad loads in the next couple of days, right?
Yeah.
I won't be able to move for Sinbad.
I mean, I don't know what you'll have to be, what pop culture you have to be consuming in order to see Sinbad. Still, you know.
Well, I'm going to watch Jingle All the Way, suffice to say.
It's a great movie, man. It's really good. Do me a favour, Google a picture of Sinbad now, just so you can have a look at what he looks like and see if it rings a bell.
Yeah, no, nothing.
Really?
I know.
Wow.
That's why I'm quite concerned, because I was like, he's distinctive looking. Like, there's enough.
Certainly is, yeah, yeah.
But, there's enough going on
and
there.
And also, but I think he's huge as well. I think he's like 6'7". Like, he's enormous. And used to wear like kind of like almost MC Hammer style kind of parachute pants. He was like a very flamboyant dresser.
Looked slightly genie-like.
Yeah, maybe he wore genie pants. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it's just that actually Sinbad dressed so much like a genie in his day-to-day life that people assumed, wait, did I see him walking down the street dressed as a genie? Or did I watch a movie where he's dressed as a genie walking down the street? It's got to be the latter, surely.
Bad news, guys. Someone's filmed Sinbad being Shazam as an April Fool's prank.
What? Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah.
And it was in 2017, guys, so our fingers, we're 5 years behind once again.
I can't believe we were only 5 years behind with
That's
all
not
of
bad
the
reference.
References.
I would say 5 years behind is pretty damn good. I will take 5 years behind. Because also, considering the pandemic, lop 18 months off that, 3.5 years behind. I think that's totally fine.
We're pin sharp.
Considering our main topics of conversation recently have been Drops of Jupiter and the Bayeux Tapestry, I think I'll take 2017.
Okay, so sorry, now we get back to Clarkie's personal Mandela moment, your own fake memory. That's what started this.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So okay. The fake memory is this. We bought a bowl of soapy water out on stage.
Yeah.
We played Universal by Blur.
To
the end by Blur. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
And we shaved our moustaches off at the end of our last show.
That was the proposed suggestion, but it never happened. But such wow. is the such is the power of your mind, Clarky.
Yeah.
That just us suggesting it would happen, you're like, yep.
That happened.
That actually happened. No, I think we realised that, you know, like your last... like it's a bit like when in Edinburgh, when people like really muck around and really mess around with the show on the last Monday, and the people who've bought a ticket, you know, because that was the only show they could get to or whatever, that's the only time they could see it, are going, oh, right, well, I don't know what should have happened here. So this isn't funny to me that you're messing around with it.
Yeah,
and I feel like it felt a little bit like that. But yeah, we did. We shaved it off in the toilets immediately afterwards. And so left the venue that day without moustaches. And I remember running into Andy Zaltzman and him saying, oh, you look so much better. You look so much better without a moustache. Honestly, you looked like such a cunt. And I was like, okay, that's sort of okay to say, but it's sort of also not. Like, if you say something like, oh, it takes years off you, that's quite good, but not, it improves your personality.
Yeah. Now, this is the thing. I actually saw Andy Zaltzman yesterday.
And he's got a moustache.
Well, I had a moustache.
Oh.
It was my first day of having a moustache.
Right.
So I wonder if I shave my moustache before I potentially see him next week. Will he have the same reaction?
Did he notice, though? Took Megan a long time to notice. And
yeah, but nobody else. Everyone else commented on it. So.
Okay. Yeah, so shave it off, and then next time, I say, how do you think I look, by the way, Andy?
I have a similar story with Andy Zaltzman, where I was playing football against him, and it was half-time, and I took my top off because it was a warm day. So I stood there in my shorts, socks, and shoes.
Lovely.
And someone was offering round wine gums, and I said, oh, I'd better not, because they're not vegetarian. And Andy Zaltzman looked at me and went, you're a vegetarian? I said, yeah. And he said, you don't look like a vegetarian. You look like a... he said, you look like a fucking German sex tourist.
Well, sorry, Andy, the two are not mutually exclusive.
That's
how
a leap.
Dare you?
I mean, like, that's got nothing to do... that's got nothing to do with being a vegetarian or not. It cut me to the quick.
Yeah, and it should do as well. And I'm sure, like, if there are any listeners, do get in touch if you are a German sex tourist who also happens to be a vegetarian, because, you know, no judgment on either count, really.
Guys,
like, if he said, like, physically you look carnivorous, right? If he said that,
you've got a lovely way with words, Matthew. I'd have gone about my day with a step in my, you know, I'd have been like, oh, here we go.
A step in your spring.
I stepped on a spring. I made a noise like The Exorcist, but it was a happy noise.
Yeah!
I'm having a nice time.
Your mother sucks breakfast in hell.
Imagine, and her head spins 360 degrees, but when it comes back around the other side, she's smiling.
She's doing the double defos. Winking.
It's at Pappy's Tweet if you fancy tweeting.
House meeting.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Is The Exorcist some kind of euphemism, or like, is it a like, is it seen as that? Is it read as like going through
what toddler
a child? Well, it's more hormonal, isn't it? Like, is it like, you know, like there's been like lots of controversy in the air about Pixar's latest film because it's
being
dealing
a bit like
with
Carrie
being like adolescence. Yeah, is the I don't know The Exorcist.
Have you not seen it?
I don't think I've ever seen it, no.
Oh, wow.
I've never wanted to.
Oh, it's good, man.
Yeah, I bet.
It's great.
I bet it's great.
Are you not a horror type person? What's your horror tolerance?
No, not a horror person at all, actually, from youth.
What's the movie that scared you the most, Parry? What was the movie that really properly shit you up the first time you saw it.
Well, I think when I was a kid, we had to stop watching Ghostbusters because Bob and Dad deemed it too scary and that we shouldn't be watching it. And so, obviously, just getting the first kind of 5 minutes of Ghostbusters, in my head, it's a fucking terrifying film because I was like 10 or 11 and it's like...
Yeah.
Fucking hell, that's
is
a scary
that
film.
First bit in the library is incredibly
scary.
Yeah,
yeah.
With the librarian, yeah.
Yeah, so that used to play in my head an awful lot.
Also as well, there's a real influence. Parents are very, you know, obviously, they can be very influential on their kids in saying, this might be a bit scary. It actually makes it a lot worse. Like, at Halloween, I wanted to show Cleo some videos, just some select songs from Nightmare Before Christmas. And we were sitting down with my phone to watch them. And Charlie said, oh, just be careful, it might be a bit scary. And I pressed play on the first video. And Cleo went, I'm scared. And I went, no, this is a Pepsi advert. This is the advert before the thing starts. But like, she was already in that mindset.
Well, and also, she's a Coca-Cola girl, isn't she?
Oh, she hates capitalism, you know, is what it is.
Is it Caitlyn Jenner putting a rose down a soldier's gun barrel or something?
I'm not sure of that video. I watched that one in my own private time. And sure, occasionally you pull the phone out and the last thing you were looking at was on there, but you know, you quickly press the X at the top and it's gone.
Oh, that's tickled me. So that's that. Sorry, that's a Mandela effect. I've remembered that. I don't. And by Mandela effect, I mean fan fiction I've written. Yeah, of course. I mean, it's a problem when you're genuinely scared. We had a mouse. We've got a mouse actually currently. That's why the house is tense at the moment because we think there's a mouse in the front room. And
oh wow,
we're kind of struggling to deal with it. Jade and I both not good with mice.
Really?
And so I was holding Gloria whilst. Jane was holding Gloria whilst I pulled the settee out to see if something would move behind it. And then I took over holding Gloria whilst Jane threw the settee cushions in the air to see if the mouse would come out of the sofa. And the whole time I was kind of going, oh, and Jane was going, oh, and Gloria was just really laughing. And like, we're told there might be a mouse and she's got this little cuddly toy mouse.
Yeah, so
she knows that mice are these tiny little cuddly things, and she was like, squeak squeak, mouse mouse, and we were both going, like trying to overcome like guttural fear, absolutely no fear whatsoever from Glow, just like delight, and kept on doing an impression of her mom by going like, ah, and then really laughing. So it's kind of like a problem of like showing fear in front of your child.
Yeah What have you got to deal with the mice, though? What's your method? Apart from, obviously, throwing...
In the post, we've got one of those electric plugs that emits a strong sound.
Yeah.
Four traps.
Humane traps, or just...
Don't chuck me that question on air.
No, I didn't.
It was midnight. We're fucking taking this cunt out.
By the way,
be damned.
Humane traps. The thing with a humane trap is once you find the mouse, you then have to, which I don't think you'd want to do, drive it away somewhere else. You've got to drive it from
not
your
with
property.
The price of petrol.
Petrol, no, you can't afford it.
I can't afford to drive that mouse anywhere.
Just pick a neighbour you don't like.
No! It can't be a neighbour because they'll find their way back. It's got to be
terrace housing.
It's got to be a person who lives a few towns away.
I'll stick it in the post.
Hold on, you just nominated yourself there, Cosmo.
Listen, we've got our own mice. We've got Cosmo's a fantastic mouser. The day when our neighbours first started having building work, that's one of the things that will force, like, you know, moving stuff. That will force the mice out of someone's property into yours. Cosmo did about 8 in a day. Just
wow. Do you know what? They don't look like they would be.
What, mice?
Cosmo.
Oh right, because such a sad face. But you know what? Absolutely savage. really. You know, she spends...
That's why it's such a sad face, the face of someone who's killed and will kill again.
She's got PTSD. And
it troubles
she's been in Nam.
It troubles her, the things she's done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
She wishes it could be a fake memory.
She wanders round our house like that supermarket scene in The Hurt Locker. That's what it's like, you know. Just blank expression. Yeah. Just, you know, like, I've lived. I've seen just stuff.
Two syllables going over and over in her brain. Sin. Bad. Sin. Bad.
Just that's only because it's a very Christian household we have. God good, sin bad.
That's the immediate chat now, is we're going to get a cat. Today the chat is, that's it, we're getting a cat.
They're so great.
I know. I mean, like, and it's like Glory wants it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You can tell. She sounds thrilled about it. But I don't know if it just feels like... So anyway, electric plug.
Yep.
Non-humane traps.
Yep.
A peppermint oil diffuser.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There's loads of things like coffee, apparently ground coffee. If you put in the places where they go, they don't like the smell of that.
Yeah, so peppermint oil diffuser that Jane's bought for the air. My argument is it should be on the ground. We should fight them on the ground rather than the air. But
Just cover the floor in smints.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've been chewing polos all night, just gobbing them on the carpet floor.
Come on, you fucker. Come round.
Oh! So yeah, there's kind of like it's kind of dominated the.
Have you got the foam where you spray the foam into the little? Because you know, obviously they say any gap the size like larger than the size of a pencil, they can get through those. So you've got to spray this foam that expands. So you spray it into all the gaps. You know, everything, letterbox, windows.
Mouths.
We don't have any cupboards anymore. Yeah, in the ears of the guy's mouth. Yeah, doing a lot. Yeah.
Can't see the mouse then.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Mainly, if we use an inhumane trap on ourselves, then...
Just go into this maze and then just wait for the sweet release of death.
But yeah, get a cat. They're wonderful. They're really wonderful companions. They're very low maintenance, and you know, then you know what? It is fun to have a cat cutting about when you're working. You know, a cat that wants to come and sit on your lap or you know play with you. It's lovely.
We've got we've got a pest guy coming tomorrow.
Oh yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't
think
he's going to stick around, sit on my lap while I'm working. He's just coming for the hour.
He might, you know, you never know. You're a very charismatic guy. You look like a German sex tourist. You know, maybe it's his thing.
Very good companion. Very low maintenance. This pest guy. He's just very quietly spending time around the house. So yeah, that's where we're currently at. But it's not strong. Wow. It's not strong.
Yes.
It's not strong, that feeling of being in your own house and there being like a threat and not being able to step up to the plate to deal with that threat.
Yeah,
you feel like you failed some kind of test.
They can tell. The good thing is after the sort of 48-hour genocide of mice that Cosmo enacted in our house, we've never had a problem with them ever again. And you know, occasionally you will see her sort of skulking around the skirting board, and I don't know if they're hidden under the skirting board, just going, it's just not worth it. Fuck it, it's just not worth it. You want to Terry.
Yeah, words got around basically.
That's yeah,
words
to got Jerry.
can we borrow Cosmo for a week? Cat exchange.
What do I get?
What
are
you
exchange?
With?
Yeah,
you get a mouse. We told you.
You get
a mouse in a humane trap.
Cosmo comes back with a mouse in her gob, drops it on our sofa. You can borrow Cosmo. I will warn you now. She's just been to the groomers, and they had to groom a load of big clumps of matted hair off of her. So she looks like she's been in a fight. She's looking rougher and tougher than she's ever looked before. You know, until all the hair grows back a bit more evenly. So I think it's a good time to get her. Basically,
yeah. You know? She looks dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. She's got that kind of, you know, like she's already got the sort of facial markings. She's very, you know, she looks like. She's a war paint cat. She's ready for it.
It must be weird being a mouse, watching the impact that you have on something so much bigger than you. It must be a real head fuck.
Like, yeah, that's the reason they're so cocky.
To be a mouse or a spider and, like, see this giant thing wigging out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know whether... Would you, like... Is that better than being, like, say, a hippo? Where, like, you know you put the fear of God into people because you're fucking...
Because you can massive. Rush to death. Yeah. I wonder. Well, actually...
Like, would you rather be a big, dangerous animal?
You know what? I don't think hippos are that cocky because... or as cocky as mice. I think mice are clearly loving it because very rarely do you say to somebody, oh yeah, I've got a bit of a problem in my house at the moment, I've got hippos. You know, it's mice, you know.
Oh, you can borrow my lion?
Yes.
Yeah.
Borrow your hippo problem. Borrow it off of Tippi Hedren. The thing with mice as well is none of the other rodents, like occasionally you might get rats if you've got a really bad situation in your house, but like there's never a vole infestation, is there? Like no one has that. So it's that mice know. They've locked into the idea that they are the scourge of the human population, and they're living high on the hog. They're loving it.
It just goes against everything that evolution has taught their brain. Like they must think everything. It's like flat Earth or some shit. It's like finding out Mandela didn't die in prison. You'd be like, this changes everything because I'm small. I'm scared. Things hurt me. I'm going to run away. Oh, God, here's this big thing. Ah, and this big thing goes, and runs away. And you must be like, wait, whoa, back up the fucking truck here.
Yeah, because if you think like...
Everything's different.
I mean, what eats mice? Sort of birds, lots of birds eat mice. They're not that big.
I'm not getting a bird.
Get a peregrine falcon. They're you know, have you got a lot of space? Is there a circuit around your house, or would they hit a wall eventually? Is there like
a wall? Sadly, I don't live in a hadron collider.
You know, just conventional rooms. Well, I've not been round to visit yet, but
just pretty conventional rooms and walls. Sadly,
no. But like in the house I grew up in, you could walk through doors continually and then end up at the same place you started.
Little Lord Fauntleroy, we always said this about you. You know, you'd get your Christmas tree presents and your presents. You really were born with a silver spoon.
I don't know if that's true.
You had that just big circular house.
Just got big,
that big house with all the doors.
Just live in a big lap. Can.
No, sadly there's not a hawk friendly route through the house. It's not something we asked about when we were looking, actually.
should
have mentioned it to the estate agent.
It's the little things that they really hope you don't mention.
You've got to look out for dry rot and a route through.
It's dry rot, it's Japanese knotweed, it's any kind of damp that's recently been painted over.
What route's my hawk going through?
Yeah. You know what? Sometimes when I'm showing up to view a house, I just wear a gauntlet. You know, I don't even bring the bird. I just wear the gauntlet just to shit up the estate agent.
Finish by throwing it down?
I'll take it. But first, I'll fight you for it. I won my house in a duel.
I mean, basically, I think I'd rather be a mouse than a hippo is where we're getting at.
Well, good. Took you long enough to answer my question. Did we record that bit when I asked you that question at the start?
I think it was before we pressed record.
Was the tape rolling when I said today's episode? I'd like to quite a short episode today if we can. I just want to ask one question of you, Tom. Ben, you can sit this one out. Would you rather be a mouse or a hippo? But actually, it's, you know, what a lovely journey it's been to get there in the end.
I also love the way this episode finishes. You remember the way it finishes, don't you? Who can forget? We started playing Blur to the end, and then Clarky brought out a big bowl and shaved off his moustache.
Shaved his moustache on
I
Mike.
Remember it so clearly. It was so on Mike, wasn't it? Aquas there.
Yeah, that's a hell of a moustache. We're going to need a bigger bowl.
House meeting.
Can I have a lift? I live in London.
House meeting.
Well, there we go. That was a real treat, I thought.
Yeah, it's always nice to catch up, isn't it? Always nice to have a chat.
Get in touch if you're aware of any more Mandela Effect memories. If you have any cracking fake memories, get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. That's in the usual places at pappysfatshare.com.
What? You know what? It's a conventional form of an email, Tom. It's pappysflatshare@gmail.com. All the bits were there, basically. But yeah, it's easier for people to go than at pappysflatshare.com. That won't get to us, unfortunately. Pappysflatshare@gmail.com. If you've got a beef for us as well, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. We need some beefs for our next Beef Brothers episode. But Tom,
we've all got them.
You want to talk about Drops of Jupiter, man?
Well, in the last house meeting, we discussed Drops of Jupiter pretty extensively, and I hope a lot of you went out and listened to it's a very moving song. Someone got in touch on Twitter to say, I think it was a guy called Wilf. I can't find his tweet because his tweets are protected and he's not letting me see them, so I don't know what's happened since I saw it. But yeah, someone got in touch to say apparently Drops of Jupiter was written when the lead singer's ex-girlfriend broke up with him and said, it's because I need space.
Right, so it literally was said, like, basically.
He took the inspiration of this girl needing space as, what if she actually does need space? And then wrote Drops of Jupiter. That's incredible. It's incredibly shit, but like in a good way. Do you know what I mean?
It's kind of exactly what a pop song should be.
Yeah.
Sort of quite dopey, but you know, it gets you to where you need to go.
Yeah, exactly right. Gets me right where it's pure. Oh, I'm going to go listen to it again, actually.
Of course you are. Of course you are.
Okay, what else do we need from you? Leave some reviews on iTunes. That helps spread the word. Tell other people. You know, we're still here. We're still kicking. We're still in the game.
Yeah. We'd love more people this year to listen to us. That would be great. That would be our big dream for 2022. More listeners in 2022. More people hearing about the podcast. More people discovering it anew. That would be all of that kind of stuff would be great. Join the Patreon as well.
Oh,
by all means,
it's a great place to be.
For just four quid a month,
Parry could afford food to feed his child, and she wouldn't be screaming her head off the entire time.
I'll be able to afford that Exorcist.
We're just soundproofing the room.
That's actually my hawk. You can hear fixing the mice.
Hit another wall.
While you hawk.
Right,
hawking for the Patreon.
Hawking for my hawk, baby. Today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
patreon.com/pappysfatshare. We sort of have to do that at the very least. I know you've got a parenting emergency happening just outside the door, but we at least have to give them where to find the Patreon, and it'll be in the show notes as well. Sorry, Tom, off we go.
Today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
Cheers, everyone. Bye. Hey day. In we come.
In we come, everybody.
Close the door. Welcome to this week's Patreon Neighborhood Watch roll call. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. This is my first. I've been called in at the last minute to cover this roll call. Let's give it a good go. My esteemed colleague over here, do you normally kick things off? How do these things normally run?
This is the first time doing it. Ordinarily, we'd let the debutantes take over, but if you'd like me to start, I'm very happy to.
This is your first time doing it as well.
No. I've done what seems like about 3,000 of these things.
Thank God! Because honestly, they said that there'd be somebody here who knew what they were doing, and I'm so relieved that it's you. Sorry, I didn't catch your name.
I'm sorry. I'm a little confused as to what it is we're supposed to be doing here. Do you have the names in front of you? Do you know which ones we're doing, Parry?
Yes, I do. I'm so sorry. I have just got them here. Yes. Can you please? Do you want me to? Do I commence?
Yes, you can. What the fuck's going on? I don't understand. What are you saying?
I'm sorry. I don't think you're... Sorry, I've been sent from head office as a last-minute replacement. I managed to gather everyone in. I do realise... Literally, all I've been told is that this is a Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call.
Yep.
And that somebody here would be able to talk me through it. I'm not going to lie to you. This is the first Patreon Neighbourhood Watch. I'm just hoping you could take me by the hand and lead me through this.
Okay, yes, right, sorry, yes, now I understand. The basic, the way it works is that we read the names out.
Todd here. Do I just say Nick Todd? I've said Nick Todd now. Is that how things go?
You normally rhyme it with something like "Oh my God" or something.
Oh here my God!
So, oh my God! It's our friend Nick Todd.
I'm just going to say okay. So I'll just say, "Oh my God, it's Nick Todd." And then is it? And then do I carry on?
You can ordinarily I would do one. So I'd
right,
say
right.
Out of
sorry,
the frying
go,
pan
go,
into the
go,
fire.
Go.
Here he comes. It's Daniel Myers. That
and
sort
is he
of
literally
thing.
In the fire? Do we need to help him?
No. This is you've got to do basically is just rhyme with the names. Yeah.
Poor Daniel. So he was in a frying pan and he fell straight into a fire. And we just carry on. And I just move on to Daniel Coleman now.
That's right. Although, if you could, if there's any way of you avoiding saying Daniel Coleman before you do the rhyme,
right? Can we forget I said Daniel Coleman?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That'd be struck from the record.
Okay, God. Wow, gosh, and you do this all the time. I'm in awe of what happens here. Goal, man. There's a goal, man. And Daniel Coleman. I can't stop thinking about poor Daniel Myers. In
okay, well, this is starting to get a bit silly. Please welcome our
I'm sorry,
friend,
it's silly. Like
Hilly.
I said. Oh, sorry, you were doing that. You were doing it.
I was just doing one of the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll calls.
And now do I go with Ella Buchanan? I shouldn't say it, should I? I shouldn't say it.
Yeah, yeah. Don't say the name. Just try and come up with a rhyme if you can.
Okay. And I'm rhyming with Buchanan.
If you can.
Can. Oh, if I can. Very good. You are good at this. If I can, Ella Buchanan. Can.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, you're getting there. I'll
thank
say
you.
This is, you know, God, effort.
Thank you.
Definitely an A. But
great.
Actually, delivery is close to a C+ at the moment. But
do you
you'll
want
get,
to do this
there.
Evaluation now or you'll, at the end of the? Because head office would love to hear this if you are going to put in a good word.
Okay, well, let's wait and see. I'm not yet ready to put you out of a job.
Thank you. That means oh, sorry.
I was just I was halfway. You could see that I was, of course, rhyming with Ruth Schwab there. So
I am so sorry because that was a very good one. It was too
that's,
good. Well, I thought it was real.
That's the joy of the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call. Okay, now I'm just going to stop you here. You can see the name in front of you.
Yes.
Do us a favour.
John...
That's sort of what I was going to ask you not to do.
Right, okay.
I mean, you know what? The John bit's fine because we're not going to rhyme with that. So
no, it's the Woody Wiss you don't want me to say. Hello?
That's the bit we were...
Oh, yes!
Trying not to say.
Okay, trying
you know
not
what?
To
it's
say.
Fine. It was a swing and a miss.
I wasn't... A swing and a miss to John Woody Wiss.
Yes.
Very good. Very, very good.
There we go. Yes.
I wish
okay.
I could start this all over again because I
no,
think
no,
I'm
no,
finally
you know what,
getting...
Listen, it doesn't matter that you didn't start very strongly because here he comes, our dear friend, David Longley.
Yes. So Daniel Green is having
no,
a lovely...
No, 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 mate.
What?
Sorry,
no,
I can't
no,
stress this enough. You don't no. say the name. You do a... You know...
The rhyme...
Honestly, this is the worst Patreon Neighbourhood Watch call I've ever seen.
Daniel Green!
Daniel Green, yeah.
Yes!
If you could say a few more words around it,
Did you mean
work.
That? Is this the worst one you've ever seen? Because please don't tell head office that.
No, don't worry. I'm sure.
I preferred it earlier when you said I was doing a good job.
I'm sure there are brighter times on the horizon, but you'd have to ask my dear friend Ashley Geisen.
Is she? Is she? Was that part of the?
That was
horizon.
It. Yeah.
Honestly, they should give you some kind of Nobel Prize.
Okay, that doesn't rhyme with the next name. Now, remember, You're saying the rhyming phrase or word first, and then you're going straight into the name.
You're going straight into Chris Mungovan. So the rhyming phrase first, and then straight into Chris Mungovan. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Before I mention his name. Yes.
Yeah.
Or there's.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay. So catch me live. God, the pressures. Catch me live.
Catch me live, guys.
I can't even. I
listen.
If this
is just a way of you promoting your tour. I won't accept it.
I do play the oboe. That I'm not used to words. I'm an oboe man. And I'll be touring live. But anyway, that's beside the point. Chris Mungovan's here with his van full of chips. He runs a chip van.
Surely you could have done oboe man, Mungovan. Surely. You've literally said oboe man. It would have. Listen.
Yes, it would have.
And the thing is, you don't have to go, you know, it doesn't have to be some sort of great florid phrase. It doesn't have to be showy, as right. I'm demonstrating by introducing Zoe.
And you just did it. As you were telling me.
I've done it already, yeah.
Do you fancy coming on tour with me? And because you could open. Because honestly, people aren't that interested in me playing the oboe. And this kind of thing?
Imagine your between song banter is superb.
Oh, I get very stressed about the banter. Here we go.
Here we go.
I believe in you. I struggle to begin with, but now we're really going. I'm really pleased to introduce Johan Hagland.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? That was good stuff because you rhyme with the Johan. Normally we rhyme with the Sunny, but you know what? I enjoyed it.
Right.
It showed real initiative.
Well, it was a start. Initiative with Anna, aren't you?
No,
you're good at this.
I was gonna say, don't worry, into the works, you haven't quite thrown a spanner, unlike our dear friend, you know her as Anna. But that's fine. That's neither here nor there. There's one more to go.
Yes, it is.
I'm not going to lie to you, it's a doozy.
It's a real Oliver Zelenczuk of a name, let me tell you. but I'm going to give it a good go.
that old expression.
You said into the... something you said about... what did you do for Anna? Because that was a good one. I could try
spanner.
That.
Spanner. You can't use that one. You can't use this one for our next friend.
Don't chuck a spanner, because chuck... I was thinking about the chuck.
Oh,
don't
okay,
chuck
yeah.
a spanner
into the works, do not a spanner chuck.
There you see, and it's that thing you it's do with the order.
I think that's
Oliver
what we call teamwork.
Oliver Zelenczuk's here. Right, and is that, do you just, is that, and then does it just stop?
Yes.
Well, God, that was exhausting. And fair play to you for doing this you say you do this every week?
Yeah, not exactly like that, but yeah, basically. Yeah, that's what we do.
God. Right. Well, I couldn't. Can I play you out on the oboe?
I'd love it if you would. In fact, I think there's been some sort of error. I think you were just booked for the oboe.
Ah, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. I think. But anyway, listen. Now you're here. Give us a little bit of a blast on the old oboe.
I forgot my oboe.
Yeah, I can tell.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.